Hi, welcome to Fudge the Roll. I am Tristan.
I'm Zach again.
Jenny?
Yay, Jenny!
You sounded so confused.
I am very confused.
What do I do?
Well, I'm so confused.
Am I Jenny?
Am I, though?
Yeah, so Jenny is part of our group on Roll20, playing Tomb of Annihilation. Unfortunately, we didn't play on Wednesday because absolutely everyone couldn't make it. That was a first. Usually it's like one or two people can't make it, and then this Wednesday is everyone.
It broke our streak. I'm so upset.
I know you are.
Even though it was like my fault, 100%.
Well, yeah, it was. Jenny, how long have you been playing D&D?
About a year now.
About a year? And how many campaigns have you been involved in?
Three or four.
And how many of them have gone beyond like four sessions?
Three. Okay. I wasn't aware there was going to be math involved, so now I'm even more nervous.
That wasn't even math.
Oh, yes, it was.
It was math this early in the morning.
Darn right.
Aren't you a teacher?
Hey, no. I'm an accountant.
That's even worse.
I teach accounting.
Exactly. All
right, cool. So have you been playing exclusively on Roll20?
Yes. Yeah, I've never had an opportunity to play a live campaign.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to find people.
Definitely.
I've been trying to set up a live campaign with some of my buddies for ages, and they're always like, when are we going to play? I'm like, I don't know. I ask you guys all the time. And they're always like, I can't. So Roll20 is the next best thing.
Pretty much.
So in our Tomb of Annihilation game, you play a ranger.
Yes, sir.
And I think you might actually have the most kills.
I think like so too, actually. Yeah.
Most combat wins, mostly because you like stay back and Hawkeye everyone.
Pretty much, yeah. I like standing from afar and you know, not getting hit is always a good thing.
Anytime you can climb something.
Pretty much, yeah. I use that to my advantage.
It also helps you avoid getting licked by zombies.
Exactly.
Listen,
that's got some terrible morning breath.
You've done it to me once. Don't get all cocky about it.
You and that zombie shared a moment.
We did.
All right. So today we're going to have a little bit of fun, and we're going to create a starting town or starting village for, say, first level characters. We're going to use the DMG. They use the random tables to come up with what's going on in this town, maybe an encounter, and see if we can come up with a story for it. So this way, you guys will eventually be able to DM and I can play.
Doubt it.
Oh, man. All right, so first thing we need to do is decide on the size of the town. There's not a table for this. You just pick. So there's village, which is up to 1,000 people, town, which is 6,000 people, or a city, which is 25,000 people. So what do you guys think for starting adventure?
A town.
A town? Mm-hmm. Up to 6,000 people?
Yeah.
All right, so
A village is too cliche.
Yeah, I guess so.
We open on our heroes working the field. How many times have you read that?
You're proficient in pitchfork. Pitchfork and torches. They just chase down like Frankenstein's monster.
Campaign. Play that campaign.
Done. Yeah. Well, it's basically just a flesh golem.
Yeah.
All right. So, in a town, according to the DMG, I mean, you could always change this for what we want. The government is a resident noble, rules and appoints a lord mayor to oversee administration. An elected town council represents the interests of the middle class. Defense is the noble commands a sizable army of professional soldiers as well as a personal bodyguard. Commerce is basic supplies are readily available, though exotic goods and services are harder to find. Inns and taverns support travelers. And the organizations, the town contains several temples as well as various merchant guilds and other organizations. So, I guess based on what your world, if you're building a homebrew world, this would be subject to change depending on how you want it to work. towns are generally major trade centers with important industries, reliable trade routes. So I think a town's a pretty good place for us to start. All right. So in this town, we are going to need to roll for race relations. So
race riots.
Race riots. Yeah, maybe we'll stay away from it. Well, actually, we might not. Okay, I need one of you to roll a d20.
Okay.
Do any of you have d20s on you?
I have a phone that has rolling dice app.
Good enough.
Nine.
Harmony. So it's a peaceful town.
God damn it.
Do you not like that?
I wanted blood in the streets.
It's okay. I just rolled a 20, so it could be racial minority oppresses majority.
How does that
work, even? I don't understand. How can a racial minority oppress the majority?
Round.
Well, if you have, like, sorry, elves, I'm guessing.
Hey, no elf hating.
It can be a high elf. Okay. What elves are cool.
All right, so harmony means that, like, all the races seem to be working together and getting along well. There's no contention between them. It's a peaceful town. Okay, so ruler's status. Jenny, do you want to roll this one?
I sure do. 17.
Ooh. Iron-willed, but respected. So I guess our ruler is, like, strong and forceful, and he's got, like, an iron
grip on everything. Just my kind of man.
But the people of the town respect him, which goes along with harmony, I guess, because if they didn't respect them, I guess it wouldn't be very harmonious.
Indubitably.
Notable traits of the town.
Your turn to roll.
My turn? Okay. Let's hear my big clunky meteor dice. 4.
Large fortress.
So I guess the large fortress could be what? Like a barracks for the army, like in the case the town gets attacked, like the town would go there for protection.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Helm's Deep type of thing.
Helm's Deep or that one town in The Witcher 3.
Sure, I haven't played that.
Or I'm playing Kingdom Come Deliverance, like slowly in the background. There's a bunch of towns like that.
Okay, we need... What is this town known for?
Dark magic, of course.
Dark magical force?
Dark magic, of course.
Oh, of course. Did you roll for it?
I got a 7.
You got 7?
Hordes of beggars.
Wow.
You know, racial harmony, big fortress, lots of homeless people.
Wild unemployment. I bet we roll that. Let's roll it again. We can give it a couple of things that it's known for. So, Jenny, why don't you roll again? We'll give it like 2 things that this town is known for.
Strong drink.
19. Hordes of beggars and strong drink.
I love it.
All the beggars heard about the strong drink and.
Pretty much.
I need some money for strong drink.
Yep.
Awesome. I think one day we'll have to like find a table to figure out what the strong drink is going to be.
Definitely.
All right, current calamity. All right, I'll roll this one. 12. Flooding.
Flooding. Okay, well, I can't fix that. Jesus.
Yeah, how are you expect adventurers to fix that?
Do you want me to like fill druids? Sandbags?
Can't druids control water?
They can create water.
Well, there you go. Just fight water with water. If you can fight fire with fire, you can fight water with water.
I'll fight air with air by breathing.
There you go. But I guess if flooding is a big thing here, then it's probably...
I feel bad for the horde of beggars, then.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're gonna be a little wet.
They're going to need a strong drink.
Yeah. All right, so we got this small town. It's racially harmonious, like dwarves and elves and whatever other races you have in this campaign will get along. It's ruled by an iron-willed but respected ruler, which gives us the option of, even though he's respected, he could possibly be a villain.
A vampire.
Or there's a large fortress which would protect the townsfolk from attack. And also house the guard, and apparently rampant alcoholism.
As every...
And flooding.
As every That's why there's so much flooding,
because everyone's drunk from the strong drink and can't build sandbags.
Yep.
Pretty much.
You should just put the hordes of beggars to work, man.
But you'd think, like, depending on how long this town has been there, they would have, like, foreseen flooding happening.
Well, it doesn't say it's just the current calamity. It's not like...
Yeah.
So maybe a dam broke.
True. So how would you work in the flooding into like a first to fourth level adventure?
Oh, dwarves, not dwarves. Druids can control water.
Told you.
You need a drop of water and a pinch of dust. You control any freestanding water inside an area you choose that is a cube up to 100 feet on a side.
Okay. So I would take a few rounds probably.
Well, it's concentration up to 10 minutes, so.
But is it a level one spell? Is this not a level one?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so it's not a level... We're developing a level one town, right?
Yeah. So how
it's a level four spell.
Well, okay, so if the town's flooding...
Well, not level four. It's a fourth level spell.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. You're not going to be able to... So how would you work in, like... Would you put the flooding kind of like in the background of the adventure? Like, this is just what's happening in this town?
Oh, no. That would be forefront. You got to go up to the mountainside to figure out why the town is flooding.
Little gremlins are taking over the dam. And
those damn kobolds.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so like, there's something that... Something's happened to the dam, and you have to go figure out what it is that's causing this town to flood.
Exactly.
That works. Cool. All right.
And what do we encounter?
Well, first of all,
not really urban.
No. Well, no, it's not really an urban. That wouldn't be end up being an urban.
No.
But to for someone to give you this adventure, you have to be obviously you have to start in a tavern, right?
Always.
Obviously. I don't
think I've ever been in a where we haven't started in a campaign where we haven't started in a tavern.
Tomb of Annihilation didn't.
No, that's true.
We did it.
Tomb of Annihilation just starts off as like, you got an invitation to this person's house. Like, okay, you're now a party. Go have fun.
Good luck.
Good luck. Don't die. All right. So how about let's roll for this the type of tavern that we have.
Tavern type.
Yeah. Let's roll a d20 for that.
Caters to specific race or guild.
Wow.
I got a 17.
Your droids will have to wait outside.
We don't serve your kind here. How is that not like almost exactly a members only club?
I guess it would be. So if it's catering to a specific guild, like we have, it's racially harmonious. So I don't see a tavern that caters specifically to a certain type of race doesn't really go along with that. So we could choose that it caters to a specific guild.
Hopefully not the Dam Builders Guild.
Well, yeah, that's why we're having such a problem.
Yeah.
Catering to the Dam Builders.
And it's got a strong drink. So, you know.
The Dam Builders aren't getting their strong drink.
Dam Builders.
But yeah, okay. So you're kind of right because it's like the members only club or it caters to a specific guild. It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
But yeah, so that would leave it open. We would have to figure out a guild for this tavern to cater to, and how would the party be able to get in?
Well, they have to knock somebody out and steal their clothes in this small town.
This small town covered in hordes of beggars?
Yeah. It's what, 6,000 people? 3,000 of them are beggars.
Yeah. Really. I like how they use horde.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, you know, multiple hordes.
Multiple hordes. Just like these large groups of beggars just moving through the streets. All right, so like if it's a certain guild, it could be it could be like the town guard. It's like their mess, kind of.
Okay.
Something like that. You guys could be maybe like the party could be invited in to talk about or to be hired to go check it out. Of course, there's guys like large town guard. It's kind of like, well, why are you asking these guys to go?
Well, what if we're part of the guard? What if this is like the opening? This is where we start. We're members of the town guard, and they just go, hey, Unit 7, go figure this shit out.
You're like the town guard reserves?
Yeah.
You're like part-time town guard?
Sure. New hires.
That would work.
Yeah, we're the newest ones, so they give us all the shit jobs of Yeah.
Not necessarily all soldiers, but yeah, so that works. If you guys are all part of the town guard somehow, you could be commissioned or like told to go on this mission. All right, so we need the tavern's name.
Oh, yes. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun,
The Staggering. I rolled a 3. The Staggering.
It's got to be Horde, right?
Demon.
Damn it.
It could. I would have gone with Horde, too, but I rolled a 10. The Staggering Demon.
Staggering Demon. All right. I like that name.
It is a good name. Because do you know how much alcohol a demon would need to get drunk?
Yeah. Well, you know, this town known for its strong drink. All right, cool.
Very true.
Yeah. This town. Presumably before the party would go up to investigate what's going on with this dam, they would probably want to go to a shop, right?
I would think so.
So let's roll a couple of D20 to see what kind of shops there are here.
I got an 18.
13.
A weaver and a rope maker. God, we're the best at making things.
Large basket?
Is he an underwater basket weaver?
And dried meats. I rolled a 4.
Rolled dried meats.
Okay. Well, what else are you going to put in the basket?
Exactly. I want to go to the blacksmith? No, sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. Can I go to the magic shop? No. Well, what's here? Weavers and dried meats.
And rope makers, even though you all already have multiple 50-foot rolls on you.
Well, I mean, you might have to tie up the dam.
Weave the dam.
That's it. You're just going to, like,
Weave these tree trunks.
Block the dam with wicker. All right, so if we're setting off from this little town, or little 6,000-person town.
This tiny mountain town.
Is it going to be a mountain town? I guess if you got water coming down from the mountain river and you dammed it off so that it doesn't flood. Yeah, I guess it could be a... All right, so we need to roll a percentile die for an encounter.
Ooh.
I got a 7.
Percent?
Yep.
You got a 7. Okay, so the dam seems like it's been taken down by 1d6 goats.
Yep. Those goddamn goats.
1d6 goats. Or maybe that's just like something blocking your path on the way up. And
you know those goats always in the way.
You'd have to negotiate with them.
Negotiate?
So I rolled a 5 on that d6, so it's 5 goats.
Nice.
So maybe there's just like one path to go up to where the dam is, and there's a pack of goats blocking the way.
Sounds right.
I feel like this would not be like the most difficult encounter.
It's level 1. Come on.
Would you attack the goats?
Can they be magical goats?
Magical no.
Give them some dried meat or maybe a basket to chew on, and then
You get the rope weaver to make you some leashes.
Oh yeah, and you can have.
And now you have 5 goats.
Now you have 5 goats.
If you roll well enough on your animal handling check.
That's true. So you guys string up these goats. You can make like leashes or something like that. And now you're an adventuring party that has to have 5 goats with them.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet you there's a troll at the top of this mountain that we can feed our goats to.
Aw, but we just made friends with the goats.
A troll?
Come on. It's a 93. It's not that hard. It's a 93.
Is a troll really like
a level 1 through 4 mountain encounter?
I know, but I feel like trolls are a little much for first level. I may be wrong.
You could get a frost or stone giant
for level 1.
Yep,
that's in the level 1. Wow.
In Xanathar, you can fight a wyvern, a chimera, a bullet, a Galib Dahur.
Actually, a troll wouldn't be that bad. So if you're going up this path to check out the dam, you meet these goats that are blocking the path, and then you get to the top, and the boss fight could be a troll. It's a CR5, which would be a tough fight for, say, if it's a venturing party of first to fourth level. It'd be a tough fight.
Oh, I want one of these now.
What?
A Galib Dahur. It's like a boulder person.
All right, so we got this troll that's at the top of... Well, at the top, at the dam location, and breaking the dam because it's blocking his path or something.
Something like that.
All right. So his troll has destroyed the dam, which has flooded the town. And the troll would be the boss fight. All right. Let's come up with... All right. Let's roll that percentile dice again and come up with another encounter to go up on the way up.
I rolled a 90%.
90?
Well, what the hell, Jenny?
A sparkling stream of water spilling from a crevice. So what could that be? Why would be there a sparkling stream of water spilling from a crevice?
The dam is overflowing.
Could be magical. Like a maybe like a water elemental or something like that could come out of it when they go and inspect it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what kind of level of CR that is.
A water elemental? I don't know. Look at it. So they're going up. They come across this stream of water. That could be like a side quest. Because by the time they get to the troll, you want them to be actually able to not die immediately. So like if four, say a party of four fourth level characters, fighting a troll would be tough, but doable. And then at the end, presumably, like you could, you know, bump them up to fifth level. So a sparkling stream of water coming out of a crevice. Maybe there's like a cave nearby that they could go and investigate why this like oddly colored water is coming from the crevice. So say, I guess that would be another mountain encounter. How about we go with not on? Ooh, that'd be kind of fun. So if the party goes into this like cave, not underwater. I was gonna say they could go in and like have like an underwater encounter, like get sucked into the water or something like that.
That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
But you'd have to make sure that they didn't die being sucked underwater, right?
Would he though?
It depends on the type of DM you are, I guess. All right, so if they go in and there's like it's a large pool of sparkling water, as maybe there's something at the bottom, like they see something, or like another cavern underneath it that makes them go in. Because you run the risk of the party just being like, okay, it's just a pool of water, forget it, and leaving.
So you got to see something in the pool of water.
Yeah, exactly. So what are they going to see in the pool of water?
Jewels.
Their lost loved ones, if it's magic.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good. So if they see it, like they... Each person sees something different, like sees
their
lost loved ones or something like that.
A la Harry Potter.
Yeah. And then they go into the water to investigate what it is. All right, let's see. Let's roll percentile dice. See what's under this water.
Death.
40. Excuse me. 40. A bed of enormous clams. This is getting really weird.
Yeah, it is.
But that's what we like, right?
Yeah, bed of enormous clams. So these clams could be magical, or inside there's like giant pearls inside.
Oh, of course there's giant pearls.
Oh, definitely.
What would be causing this pool to... You think, oh, maybe they lure people in to eat. They're like man-eating clams.
Clams gotta eat.
And so they lure people in, and then you have to fight clams.
What if there's something else?
Them somehow.
What if they're like the pet to like merfolk or something like that?
Yeah, there could be like a tunnel under the water, go deeper into the mountain, and there you find like a merfolk colony. Where at this point, first level characters are probably drowning. Let's say there's a tunnel. Players have to not negotiate with the clams, but negotiate their way around the clams so they don't get eaten. Explore this tunnel.
I like it.
And comes out to like a merfolk colony inside the mountain.
Nice, and the merfolk are kind of like crazy.
The merfolk are generally neutral, if I'm not mistaken. Mummies, mycondids, mind flayers. Nope, not mind flayers. Merfolk. Yeah, merfolk are generally neutral. So, what could they do with the merfolk? How could they, you think the merfolk would give them another like side quest for getting to the main quest of getting the troll?
Right.
What kind of quest would the merfolk give them? Maybe something that's related to what's going on with the troll.
Yeah, maybe the troll took one of their prized clamshell bras. I don't know. And they had to get it back or something.
This went way further than I expected it to. I was like, let's build a town.
Now we're making merfolk.
Yeah. Now we've created an entire campaign. Page 81. Side quests. All right. Let's see. Let's roll 1d8. You have 1d8 on you?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. All right. So roll a 1d8.
Okay. Four.
Four. To rescue a captive. Ooh, maybe the trolls hold, maybe the trolls holding one of them captive.
That works.
All right. They have to stop the troll from... They have to kill the troll because he's destroying the dam or something he's done has... Maybe the troll... Maybe it's not the troll that has destroyed the dam. Maybe the troll has built a dam and that's why the town is flooding.
There it is. Yeah, he's a monster troll.
He's a monster!
You're a monster!
So the troll's built a dam for some reason and the town's flooding, but he's also kidnapped one of the merfolk, maybe for food. Maybe he's, like, fishing them out of this, like, large river.
Maybe he's just a dick and wants to mess with everybody he can because he can.
There you go. He's just a dick.
Because, I mean, why not? If you can, you can, right?
That's right. So that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
That's a be a pretty fun starting adventure in this small town. You got a side quest going on. You got this dick troll who's built a dam and has flooded the town.
Maybe he's just lonely and wants company. This is the only way he knows how to get people's attention is by acting out.
he's acting out because
he's lonely. He's a misunderstood troll. So this is how he's going to get his attention by, you know, flooding a town and taking merfolk because he wants friends.
Maybe. So yeah. Maybe the troll gives you a side quest of finding a she-troll.
A she-troll, yes.
He needs a she-troll to make him happy again.
Yes. He lost his one true love to the merfolk, and now that's why he took the merfolk, and we have to get him a new she-troll.
I like it. That's a very different, like, starting adventure.
Because no one's evil just to be evil. You always have reasons why you're messed up, right?
That's true. So that could go either way. Either the adventurers say, yeah, okay, we'll try and find you a she-troll, or they just outright kill him and rescue the merfolk captive. It could go either way. It gives the party opportunities. Either way, I would give them XP for whatever they decide to do.
Definitely.
Let's add a twist to this. Okay, so I'm going to need you to roll a 1d10.
All right, let's see. 12. There it is. All right.
I was like, wait, 12?
Four.
Four. Oh, this is a good one. The adventurers have a time limit.
Oh,
so
that works.
The longer it takes them to do this, the more the town is in danger of being completely, like, destroyed. Maybe?
Yeah, it's with a dam, too. I mean, it could be filling up, like, it's like you've got a timer itself, and you know, it's built into it.
Exactly. So, like, the dam could be downstream from them. So if this water's coming down from the mountain, the dam could be downstream from them, and just this town is getting completely overrun with water and destroying everything.
Nice, so I like it.
That works. Cool. So that puts a little extra stress on the adventurers too, not to, like, go off in all directions and kind of keep them focused on their mission at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like it. I think we have the next campaign.
Nice. I like it.
Cool. See, so that's how easy it is to just, like, come up with something to start a campaign with.
Yeah, I might try my hand at making my own campaign now. Kinda.
There you go.
See? Yeah.
It's not that hard. And then you can put it on roll 20, and then I could play my halfling barbarian.
That is an epic.
I am so excited to play him. It's going to be so fun. So how do you like Tomb of Annihilation so far?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot, definitely. It's I like that it's very multi-sided. There's a lot going on. It's not just one quest. There's so much that you can do, and you get what you put into it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very open world. Like, you have your main quest, but then there's so much else going on. Like, I think of the available side quests in it, I think I gave you guys, like, maybe a third of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And, like, originally when I was like, oh, I'm going to run this, maybe I'll get, like, I'll download a couple of the Adventurers League quests and stuff and throw those in so it makes it really huge. But I was like, wait, no, this thing is huge already. Like,
and I like the way they do that, too. Yeah, I like the way that Wizards of the Coast does that. Like, kind of, it can be so much more. I mean, it's not just a one thing and you're getting it, but there's more to it.
Is this the first like published campaign you've played in? Like all the rest of the homebrew?
I'm also doing of Curse of Strahd kind of against with it too. Or I'm doing Curse of Strahd too. We're about halfway through that one, I believe. So
okay. So how is that like compared to Tomb of Annihilation? Is it like just as open world or?
Yeah, it's very open. Well, not as open world. I don't think we didn't get as many like side quests, but there are side quests that you run into as you're going through. Like as you're going through and trying to get the Vampire Strahd, there's other things you're doing in order to, you know, make yourself stronger when you do finally go up against him, I think.
Well, yeah, Strahd is like, Strahd's a brutal, he's a brutal villain to fight.
He's a BAMF.
He's in the Volo's Guide to Monsters.
Mm-hmm. We had like one encounter where he's just basically toying with us. It's pretty awesome. Like, I like the way they just make you just despise this guy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I like it a lot.
Cool. I looked at it. Like, I think I'd like to play it. I don't know if I'd run it because it's very atmospheric too, right? Like,
it is very, yeah.
It's very like sort of dark kind of horror centric.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to play in it. I don't know if I could pull off the atmosphere of it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough world to build. It's not as not as brightly colored as Tomb of Annihilation.
Yeah, like I find Tomb of Annihilation is very like it's not dark. It's very sort of light, like it's, in terms of atmosphere.
Definitely.
But also, I guess it all depends on the DM running it too.
That's like
a DM could theoretically make it much darker. Like it could be like hordes of zombies chasing after you guys.
Right.
Like
yeah.
But considering you guys haven't even gotten into the real thick zombie area yet.
Yeah. We're kind of on the outskirts, I'm imagine.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully you guys will get in there pretty soon.
Yeah.
You've just gotten past the Goblin Queen, Grabstab?
Yes, Grabstab.
So you've completed one side quest so far, I think.
Yeah, because we got the thing.
You got the thing. So you guys have completed one side quest. Now you have the girl that wants to go explore, investigate something, keeping it very like...
yeah, kind of I don't trust.
Yeah, you got her, who's looking for Art of Cimber. You got the granddaughter of the dude who wants to explore the Eldani Basin.
And we have our grumpy friend.
Your grumpy Scottish dwarf, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who, to be fair, has become more useful than he was at the beginning.
Yeah, most definitely. At first I was like, oh boy, this is rough.
So if you decide to run a campaign, are you going to run a published one or are you going to make up your own?
I think I would probably want to run a published one first just to see how it is, because I've not been playing that very long. But but eventually I would like to come up with my own, you know, but I'd like to see how one is done, a published one is done first before I start, you know, making up my own stuff.
Yeah, I think I said that before, like with the last time when I recorded with Zach, like I started my first couple of campaigns that fell apart. Like I started with my own worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I went like really big, and then it's so much easier like when you're starting off running your running a published one, because it's like everything's done for you already. Like especially in Roll20, like you have all these like macros for the tables. You just like plug them in and roll them up.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, so it's like, and it just guides you like piece by piece, like, this is where you're going. Here you go. This is all the stuff you need. Like, it takes a lot of the headache, even compared to playing like in person or like, DMing in person. Like, I've never really DM'd in person. I think I did one or two sessions like 20 years ago in person. But like, just because I have the Tomb of Annihilation book, but if I were to do it in person, there's so much prep. I think I would actually just connect my computer to a TV and use Roll20 to run most of it in person.
Right. Roll20 makes it so much easier too with that aspect.
It's got all the maps. Like it'd be so easy just to like connect it to a TV and uses it for the battle maps and everything like that, and like generate all the stuff and still have everyone in person just rolling their dice and playing their characters in person, but just use it for the battle maps and everything like that. Make life so much easier. Because otherwise you either have to like draw out each map or print it out or something like that and have minis. Unless you do Theater of the Mind style, which I don't know if I could. I mean, I guess it could. It'd be kind of tough to keep track of everything though. Like,
definitely
track of where people are. Especially if you have it like, oh, you're getting attacked by 12 zombies.
Right, yeah. And if it's a bigger party as well, then it makes it more.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll see. Like, I'd like to run it in person. Hopefully I'll get a chance to do it. But I think from now on, anytime I run something in person, I'm going to be using Roll20 as for the background for everything. It'll just make life so much easier.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Makes it a handy tool, too. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think that's it for today. I think we got some good work done. Maybe next time we'll come up with a little more for this little adventure. And then
I like it.
And then you'll be able to, that could be your first adventure.
That could be it, yeah. Except for you know all my ploys, so you couldn't have your, I'd have to throw something in there to throw you off.
Yeah, you'd have to change some things.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's pretty much that easy just to use the roll of table and you say, okay, well, this is how, this is going on, what's causing this? And then just goes from there, it leads you down a rabbit hole and you create all this extra stuff for it. It comes,
and you have a misunderstood troll.
You exactly. So out of all, like out of these three encounters or four encounters, you pretty much, you could theoretically do the entire thing, avoiding combat altogether.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You'd have to like throw in some random encounters and that stuff like that. And just to keep people on their toes.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Awesome. So, I think that's it for this week. This is Fudge the Roll. I'm Tristan.
And I am Jenny.
See you later.